This presentation will be a preliminary report on a long-term field trial where we're comparing several different new Geneva rootstocks in several different planting systems with two initial tree types. I'd like to acknowledge the other co-authors of this paper, Steve Hoyen and Mari Miranda Sasso from Cornell University. The background for this project is that there's a very high initial investment required to plant new high-density orchards, somewhere approaching $30,000 to $35,000 per hectare. This level of investment requires growers to be pretty sure that they're using the right rootstock and the right planting density, or big mistakes in economics can happen. The second objective was to compare the approach that some growers are making to reduce costs, and that is to plant very simple, recently grafted trees, which we call bench grafts, which are much lower cost than the traditional recommended preformed tree, which we call a feathered tree from the nursery. And this picture shows a bench grafted tree planted in the orchard that we planted at a high density versus the very highly feathered 15 plus feathers that we recommend. This experiment was planted in 2006. It's fairly large, 1 hectare, 2 varieties, Gala and Honeycrisp. There's 10 rootstocks. Not all rootstocks are planted in all systems. The table at the bottom shows the 4 systems we used and the spacings. Fairly low density slender pyramid with permanent scaffold branches, higher densities vertical axis. Slender axis is a name I invented just to have a name for that system, and the tall spindle with the highest density of 0.9 by 3 meters at 3,000 trees per hectare. And you can see there the list of rootstocks that were involved in each of the systems, and it's essentially an incomplete factorial design with three replicates. Now let me move to the first result that I want to illustrate, and I illustrate these results in graphical form to try to help visualize because of the incomplete factorial nature of the experimental design. On the x-axis is tree density in trees per hectare, ranging from the relatively low 840 trees per hectare, which is the slender pyramid system, slightly higher vertical axis system, and tall spindle system. And then each of them, the rootstocks. Now, some rootstocks existed only in one system. For example, this open triangle M7 only existed in the low-density system, whereas other rootstocks that are connected by a line existed in 2 or 3 systems. The first point that I want to make is that planting density affects tree size in a negative manner, indicating as we increase tree planting density, trunk cross-sectional area at the end of 8 years in this experiment is reduced. Now, you'll notice that many of these rootstocks, especially several of the new Geneva rootstocks, sort of fall on a similar trend in negative relationship, the exception being M7, which is in New York, a significantly more vigorous rootstock than many of these semi-dwarf and dwarfing rootstocks. But you'll see over here, for example, G30, it could be extended in a similar line. You see the black line is M9, the blue line is G41, and this red line is G11, and we'll focus primarily on those. The second variety, Honeycrisp, had a very similar response, and there's no real big differences here between Honeycrisp and Gala that I would like to emphasize. The second point is to look at cumulative yield over 8 years, and here we see a positive but somewhat curvilinear relationship depending on the rootstock, going from the relatively low density with a cumulative tons per hectare of somewhere around 110 to 130 tons or 150 tons up to somewhere getting approaching 400 tons per hectare. That difference is substantial, at least a threefold difference in yield, which has huge impacts on orchard economics. If you look at the differences among rootstocks, you'll notice that the traditional M9 is the black line, has this curvilinear response indicating that we weren't getting much improvement in yield beyond about 2,000 trees per hectare, whereas some of the other ones like G41 seem to have a continuous improvement in performance as we increase tree density. One important point I want to make here is that there seems to be a significant difference between Budogoski 9, regardless of planting density, and the other more common rootstocks of M9 and the new Genevas, including Geneva 11 and Geneva 41. At the lower end of the scale, we have a couple of ones that maybe were misplaced. For example, this purple line here is Geneva 935. Relatively dwarfing in this experiment, probably should have been planted in these higher densities, but you can sort of see the line that you could imagine extending to the higher densities. If we look at the other variety, Honeycrisp, then you see what appears to be a more curvilinear relationship. And the magnitude of the total yield is less. In the previous example, we'd approached 400 tons after 8 years. The maximum yield of the best combination was somewhere around 230 tons with Honeycrisp. Now, an important physiological measurement that I like to look at is the impacts of these planting systems and rootstocks on what we call yield efficiency, which is just the ratio of kilograms of production to the trunk cross-sectional area. Typically, when we have moderate pruning without excessive intervention, we have high yield efficiencies in the neighborhood between 3 and 4 over this 8-year period. You can see here that several of the rootstocks had relatively high, above 4, and whether they were planted at low density or high density. Now, this G935 is a relatively high yield efficient rootstock. G41, the blue line, G11, and B9. Now, M9, probably not statistically different than those, was sort of intermediate, but certainly G16 in this experiment was significantly lower in its yield efficiency, as well as these other rootstocks, M26 and M7. Now, with Honeycrisp, yield efficiencies were slightly lower because of fewer tons, but the interesting point here is that the rootstocks that really were pretty outstanding for Honeycrisp were G11 and B9. Now, I don't understand the slope of this green line, which is B9. It could be an artifact in our data because it's not typical that you get increases in yield efficiency with increasing planting density. Usually it's a negative relationship. A second important variable besides yield is fruit size. And we have shown in a couple of experiments and show here again a somewhat negative relationship between fruit size and planting density, indicating that you do sacrifice a little bit in fruit size as you go to these extreme densities. Now, partially that's a result of crop load, where we typically have higher crop loads at these very high planting densities. When we look at Honeycrisp, however, which is a genetically very large fruited variety, I don't see much indication of this negative impact of planting density on fruit size. And in fact, with some things, it almost looks like a positive one. For example, the pink line, which is G16, or the red line, which is G11. Ultimately, this has to translate to economics. And the purpose of this experiment was to measure the economic impact of both planting density and rootstock over the long term. Here we see the net cumulative crop value. When I subtract out the differences in planting cost by planting high density versus low density, and I assign a crop value to every apple produced based upon its fruit size and the market value. And we see here a general positive relationship with density, and that's one of the main reason why apple growers continue to plant higher and higher densities. We see here with M9, the black line, the optimum seemed to be somewhere less than 2,500 trees per hectare, whereas with G41, the blue line, that optimum we hadn't quite reached at 3,300 trees per hectare. You'll see also with G16, which is a little more vigorous than the G41 or M9, we sort of had this same optimum somewhere about 2,500 trees per hectare. Again, you see the negative or slightly poorer performance of B9 in terms of economics than some of the other rootstocks. Obviously, the extremely low densities are very low in economic performance, indicating the real push behind this increasing density to somewhere around 3,000 trees per hectare that's very strong in our commercial industry in New York. When we look at Honeycrisp, if we go back, just notice the magnitude of this scale, $130,000 net cumulative crop value over those 8 years. If we look at Honeycrisp with higher fruit prices, of course, that number is much higher, somewhere $250,000. But here, without much... maybe we should go back. There we go. With Honeycrisp, the scale is much higher, $200,000+. Here you see more of this curvilinear relationship peaking out with several of these somewhere around the 3,000 instead of the 2,500. And it's partially because Honeycrisp is a much weaker growing variety, and so every one of the rootstocks with Honeycrisp gave a smaller tree and much easier to manage even at 3,000. And so here I should have planted some 4,000 and 5,000 tree densities, but it was not included in this experiment. Now, the second and secondary objective of this was to compare tree types. And the two tree types we compared only at certain planting densities was this fully feathered tree with 15 plus feathers versus this very simple bench graft, which had been grafted only 1 month before and essentially wasn't a tree yet. If we look at performance over the 8 years in terms of tree size, it was very interesting that there was very little difference in tree size regardless of rootstock. For example, on B9, after 8 years, they were essentially the same size, no statistical difference there. Only G16 had a little bit difference, but most of the rootstocks, they were very similar. And that was the case regardless of whether it was Gala or Honeycrisp, indicating that these very simple bench graft trees grew very, very well and caught up with the other trees after those 8 years. If we look at the impact of that tree type on yield, then we do see a difference. Typically, the highly feathered tree did have a higher cumulative yield, but surprising to me, it wasn't always the case. For example, with M9, the bench-grafted, very simple tree, although behind in its growth in the early years, essentially almost caught up in terms of cumulative production after 8 years. There was still significant differences with G11, G16, and G41. Now with Honeycrisp, the differences were a little more pronounced, where with almost every rootstock excepting G41 and G935, there were big differences, much greater yield with a highly feathered tree than with a very simple whip. If we convert that data to economics and look at just the crop value, taking into account the difference in price between that highly feathered tree, which I assigned a price of $8 per tree, versus the bench graft, which I assigned a price of $2 per tree, after the 8 years, there were some significant differences, but not as many as I had imagined in the beginning. For example, with B9, with Gala, because it was so much more expensive to plant the feathered tree, and although the yield was greater, there was no significant difference in final economic outcome. However, with G11 and G41, there were significant differences, indicating that those two rootstocks really benefited from starting with a highly feathered tree versus a very simple bench graft. With M9, there was no significant difference with Gala. If we move to Honeycrisp, where the tree growth was slower, there are substantially greater differences with B9, G11, G16, and M9. So the conclusions from this so far are the following. We can negatively impact tree size, which is a good thing, by planting trees closer together. When we plant trees at 90 centimeters by 3 meters for 3,300 trees per hectare, we can keep the trunk small because of the way we prune them and the heavy crops. Number two, cumulative yield continues to be shown in all of my studies to be highly correlated with planting density and is the reason we're pushing these 3,000 to 4,000 trees per hectare densities. Cumulative yield was generally greater with feathered trees than bench grass. However, the net crop value was not always different between the bench grass and the highly feathered trees. In many cases it was, but it was very surprising when you tender, lovingly care for these bench grass how well they can do. And this goes against what I tell growers, because some growers do use bench grass. I've argued with them for years they should not do that. But in most cases, what we've seen with the majority of the rootstocks is the feathered tree performs the best, and so our recommendation continues to be to plant about 3,000 trees per hectare using high-quality preformed trees. Thank you for your attention.
We have time for one question.
What type of N9 do you use?
This was a Dutch 337, NAKB 337. Brent.
How much of that, the rootstock and spacing effect is just how quickly they fill their space? It seems like it's almost directly correlated with how quickly they can capture light. I mean, have you looked at light interception?
We have not in this study. We've done it in others, and you're basically correct. I look for much greater genetic differences between the rootstock, but it surprised me how close all those lines follow each other in very different genetics, with the exception of B9, which seemed to have a lower slope or lower intercept than the other lines. But it essentially is what you say, how quick you can fill that space.
Thank you so much, Terry.